Hello and welcome to the Serious Games Podcast, all about playful methods for interactive trainings and facilitation. Let's get started.
And welcome back to the Serious Games Podcast. And today I am connected. Okay, I need to read this. Otterberg, it's in the Pfälzerwald. I'm probably going to just put a link on a map in the show notes. And I'm connected with Dr. Philip Busch. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, wonderful. I know, I mean, look, I will also link all the work that you're doing, right, on with Mind Games and your book and all the other wonderful things. And for sure, okay, this is in the opening. I'm announcing the second episode, but for sure, we must at one point talk again about maybe a specific game or a specific simulation and how you brought it to the world. And today, we're talking because you are a co-organizer of the Serious Play Conference. Now, some of our listeners might know the Serious Play Conference in Canada, the US, and 2026 is the first year where the conference will take place in Germany, in Mainz, which is close by where you live, on the other side of Germany for me. And I thought it's so important. I had Matthias Poulsen on the show for a portrait of the Counterplay Festival and Counterplay community. And I thought it's so important to portray different play game, play-based communities, causes, associations, publishers, so that our listeners can understand what is really out there and where's an overlap, where are different target groups involved, and of course, who's behind all of that work that is being done. So the Serious Play Conference will happen this year. We'll link everything. We're going to talk about the dates. And this is a very long opening, right? But Philip, I understand, one of the promises of the conference is that it's not only a conference, right? So it's really, there's lots and lots of things also going on the side, in the evenings, on the weekend afterwards, right? Not only to explore the region and Mainz, which is beautiful and nice, but also to get to know each other, to really connect, and not just to do business, but to do business and, right? To connect and to understand, our ways of using play, using games, our playful spirits. Yes. So let's talk about all of that. And here are my two traditional questions, right? After a very long opening, what should our listeners know about you? And how do you explain the Serious Play Conference to someone who's never heard about it in an elevator pitch style?
All right, yeah. I'll try my best to be short and precise on myself so we have more time on the Serious Play Conference. So,
yes.
I'm Philip. I was starting my career in development corporation, back then working for GIZ, German Development Corporation, and starting in the e-learning sector, the traditional e-learning sector. And as you probably all know, there's a lot of super boring e-learning content out there where you have to click through hundreds of slides and all of this. Mm-hmm. So what happened is I thought, how can we improve this? Then I found out about gamification, serious games, and everything connected to that. I directly fell in love with the topic, knew that I was intuitively already doing this my entire life, and then had the chance to write my PhD on the topic as an alternative to the traditional portfolio of international cooperation. And now, had the chance to implement a lot of serious games and gamified systems all around the world. So from reforestation in Afghanistan over to peace support in Yemen, sustainable tourism in Africa, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then I started my own company called Mind Games and supporting different institutions with these topics. And now have the big chance and honor to organize the Serious Play Conference. And
yes.
Yeah, that's basically about me. And Perhaps wonderful. I can continue with...
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. So what is it?
Exactly, yeah. So the Sirius Play Conference exists since, I think, 2006, so 19 years now, was originally implemented by Sue Bowl, and now was a couple of years ago, good friends and a wonderful studio called Goldbug Interactive with Paul and Elisa. They took over and now organizing the conference in North America. And this conference gathers, you know, all the people that are working in the sector of serious games, serious play, gamification across all sectors. So across museums, K-12 education, higher education, companies, onboarding, recruiting, but also military simulation or healthcare simulation. So combining like lots of different genres, so to say, or sectors, and bringing all of these creative people together to, you know, exchange for a couple of days, get to know each other, network, get inspired by people, and come out of this conference, you know, with a lot of new ideas and wonderful people to collaborate with in the future.
Yes. Great, great. So you're answering my next question, right? What's the transformation you were hoping to inspire, right? With everyone attending. Just a shout out to Sue, to Paul, and to Lisa. And I will link all of their, work, companies, profiles in the show notes.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the rich history, right, of the Serious Play Conference. 2006. And what 2006, wow. I mean, do you know a little bit of the back history? What was the initial idea?
I think that there was like people needed a place, you know, to exchange because like in all of these different sectors and areas that I was describing was basically people were always kind of like the nerds that were doing some kind of game-based approaches, playful learning, gamification, serious games. And nobody, like, they were quite isolated, I would say, sometimes in their areas, in their sectors. And this was kind of the place where people could, you know, come together from the different areas. And now they were not the outsiders anymore, but those were now the people that were exchanging with each other and see, you are also doing games in a totally different field, but you're also there, you know, like the nerdy person who is doing this. Yes. And there we combined and gathered all the people, or not back then, not me, but I think this was the place to go. And from this starting point, it basically developed and grew with a wonderful community, which makes, I think, a big difference. I mean, like, there are different conferences out there, and there's always, you know, super nice people and a beautiful conference. That's not what I mean. But there's something special about Serious Play in terms of, like, the community and the vibes and the atmosphere over there. So when I was there for the first time, and this is actually where we met, huh?
Yes.
2 years ago, I was there for the first time as well in Toronto, and there is a specific magic that you can hardly describe. I don't know how you perceived it.
I mean, I was looking for a conference, definitely in the States or Canada, and I know they were alternating for times, right? And I connected to a lot of people that I knew from LinkedIn. We've been exchanging and meeting. And I love that on the one hand, you could, as you said, right, could go to a very, I mean, inspirational talk on how to use role-playing games with children in school, and they're just reading the books about the characters, and all the teachers are asking, you know, how do you make those kids read, right? All the way to a very tailored, I would say even technical simulation that's rolled out, you know, in factories, right? And what I like, the magic, I would say the passion that the attendees brought. It's really not in terms of, oh, look, I need to sell something, or, oh, this is all hidden, sorry, secret, right? This is really, no, we meet, I'm still trying to see myself as a nerd, but then it's really true in terms of, you know, we know, we are all passionate about it. Yes, there are different ways of using simulation games, and we're going to unpack that in this episode a little bit. But that was for me the magic, right? No matter if it's a researcher from Japan, or a passionate, hobby tabletop role player that has a day to day job. So it's really that mix, this unique mix, I would say, of folks.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, like this year, for the first time, we're trying to basically build on this, because I think this is the essence, you know, like those awesome people that are gathering. We're just, you know, offering the space, but it's the people who fill it with this magic who are attending. And perhaps like on the attendees that we are trying to kind of scale it up to Germany, to Europe, or we have the Europe edition. Yes, it takes place in Germany, but it's a Europe edition. Basically, we have five different areas of people or target audiences that we want to approach. So basically, the first area is like the creative sector. Yeah? So all people from the creative sectors, people who are doing games, who are producing games, who are artists, coders, developers, sound engineers, whatever. So everybody who is in the creative sector and potentially able to contribute to a serious game or a serious play experience, right? So creatives is one. Number two is corporates, companies, and industry. This is also something that we are trying to put a little bit more focus on, because like serious play, serious games is cross innovation, and companies need to understand that they can benefit from making use of games. And that's why we are inviting like people who would actually be customers, right, for these creative people, and who would, you know, give them a contract ideally at the end of the Serious Play conference and say, yeah, I have a problem, please help me with a playful solution. So we're trying to invite companies to this as well, so they can explore the opportunities of the gaming sector, like everything related to play. Then number three is research. Research is also like universities, institutions that we are having that are talking about like impact measurement. How can we measure the impact of the games? But also from an ethical point of view, how to discuss serious play, serious games as a potential, you know, instrument for manipulation. And where what is like our responsibility in this as like designers, but also as, you know, customers, what to understand what is basically behind it. Number four is politics and, you know, public sector. There will be also a lot of politicians who will be there, who need to understand more about the topic. Of course, we have the Gamescom, you know, in Cologne, and everybody, like every politician now understands the power of this.
Oh, yes.
Right? But like with this, we are trying to close the gap how we can ideally use this playful approaches also like in other scenarios, not only for entertainment. And the fifth and the last one is like international cooperation. So institutions like World Food Program, GIZ, EU, and so on will be there, will show how they are making use of serious games kind of to contribute to a better world. And yeah, also be there to network.
Wonderful, wonderful. Where to start now? I would love to maybe even take three steps back. And maybe before we then all meet in Mainz and discuss, you know, where to use playful encounters, moments, games, and more. Maybe we should just for a second differentiate between, you know, gamification, serious games, and, you know, playful moments. How do you play in general? Should we just define it
We can try.
Yeah, we can try. It's like, should we do that now? A moment of genius ideas. And just have a 30-second definition. But okay, let's first talk about, you know, the conference is called Serious Play, right? So serious and play. What is it? You want to go first? We can do this together, and we'll see.
You start, and I will end this.
Okay, okay. Let's go for serious, right? I love to explain it as I think I once drew like a pyramid or so. There is a learning objective, or let's say there is an objective, right, for us doing this. Okay, so very vague. Now, in my case, I would qualify as, I'm wondering, I'm probably in the contributor area, right? As a facilitator. Yeah, I think I'm a new. Yeah. So as I use playful moments to strengthen, to reach a learning objective, and mostly corporate learning, L&D, last couple of years for a large SAP transformation. It always has an intent. It has a goal. Okay, that in comparison to when you mentioned GamesCon or any other game that we just play for entertaining reason or reconnecting with the family and friends, that's one part. And then play. And here's, it's not easy because in the English language, we have two words, right? We have play and game, because sometimes it could also be called the Serious Games Conference, right? And I hear the interesting part. So play and game. Play, for me, is more open, right? In terms of we agreed to play, we're invited, it's voluntarily. And again, I'm happy to list all of, you know, official components and definitions. But then if we look at games in comparison to play, games mostly invite to play, you know, but they come then with maybe a set of rules, roles, with a storyline, maybe even with materials, right? So that's my first, my
yeah, five nice. Yeah, yeah. We're sentences. Heading in the same direction. So yeah. I'm also using this pyramid usually because like on the bottom, you know, like I'm trying to have like different steps of this pyramid. So I'm usually starting with human-centered design on the bottom, you know, then putting on top of this aspects like behavioral design, experience design, UX design, interaction design, motivational design, yeah? And all of these aspects basically build on each other. It basically, the further you go up in this pyramid, the more specific you get in terms of what are your targets and what are basically, what is the frame of the experience that you're creating, right? And then there's like, I can give you like the definitions that I'm using usually, if you want to, with.
Yeah, of course.
For instance, I mean, it's not easy because like everybody is defining it differently, but this is like my approach. Like for instance, playful design, yeah, would be designing experiences with defining allowed actions of the player with the intent of fun. Yeah. So I think like in playful design, like fun is like the central element in it. And basically you have certain actions, yeah, or restrictions that you're doing, that you're allowed to do, or and with the main intent of fun, yeah, if you're doing like a playful design. Then, like a game, on the other hand, if you're thinking really about a game, is for me a time-boxed experience where a player tries to overcome obstacles, to achieve objectives, to modify the end state of the game while following a set of rules.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a long sentence, I know, but yeah, basically it's... this is like when you think of a game, it's time boxed, you're following rules, you need to overcome obstacles and all of this. So like classic what you would understand as a game. And now on top of this, we have gamification and serious games, whereby a serious game for me is a game created for a primary purpose other than pure entertainment. I mean, there's also this there's a definition by I think Detering that's very similar, this is for me like the primary purpose is other than pure fun. This is, it can be fun, it should be fun. A serious game
Sometimes they are.
And this is also where it comes to like the maturity of serious games, where we see like an increase in the quality, which is very needed. But you know, it's still a game that we can be analog, can be digital, hybrid,
of course.
And then at the end, we have gamification.
Gamification, yes.
The design of playful experience, playful experiences, one experience and several, with a primary purpose other than pure fun. Yeah. So this is also like this playful experience that I was describing first. Yeah. As you can see, like the difference is that we're not having specifically a game here. Like in gamification, this is more open. I don't need a goal. I don't need like a time boxed experience in this. It's just, you know, like a playful experience that I'm using with an other primary, with a primary purpose. Could be learning, could be motivation, could be, you know, branding, loyalty, all of these things.
Wonderful, wonderful. And again, you know, I can also put the definitions in the show notes. But, you know, why I was attempting to define this, I mean, this is the common ground that we're all meeting, right? During the conference, right? And, and everyone from, as you mentioned, the, you know, the five areas or the five target groups, right? But there's so many possibilities.
Exactly.
To not only, it's not about only fixing the dysfunctions out there, but there's so many possibilities that are beyond, you know, what we're doing right now. And yes, of course, you know, there are digital games out there, but there are lots of analog games out there, right? There are conversational games out there. And then there are little gameful experiences or playful experiences where we maybe that can be attached to different things, right? Exactly. And yes, some might be a learning goal, others might be a meeting, and then there might be a simulation or a creative or an RT and a public space cause or other, you know, causes that we humans tend to have on this planet. So, wow, it's unlimited possibilities, I would say.
Almost, I think it's also not that important. Is this gamification? Is this serious game? Actually, for me, it doesn't really matter. At the end, it's all experience design for me. Because, like, we are developing, we are designing experiences that are taking place ultimately in the head, you know, of the other person. Of course, it can be also, like, people can get physical with this as well, but at the end, you know, like you perceive it and you you experience kind of all of these experiences in your mind, in your head, and therefore it doesn't matter if I learn how to do this experience from a game or from a movie or from a theater or whatever, you know, like I can learn from so many different things. And of course, like, we are focusing on really then the playful approaches, but I think something like a story that is part of a game, it doesn't matter, like, is this a game element story or is this a movie element or, you know, obviously neither nor, but you know what I mean. Yeah. So we just want to learn and bring all of these creative people together to make these who are doing these experiences want to know more about it.
Yes. And then, you know, obviously our listeners are interested in serious games. But here's the thing, as we all know from own experience, or definitely we observe someone, you know, being immersed in a game and how it unlocks not only emotions, but also thoughts and reflection and, you know, epic wins and beyond. If we now, you know, mix that up with again an objective, a learning objective, or and we still need to think about this objectives beyond fun, but if we connect this to a cause or to a learning objective, to a topic, to, and I know you've done wonderful work, you know, also with bringing complex topics to maybe less educated participants. You know, this is just so great how we can share that story and unlock that story in the heads of the players. Mm-hmm. So if we all meet and talk about, you know, how and to use what, and if the right skills are in the room, so people could make it happen, you can literally design and create games. And you mentioned the research, very important. No game is neutral, yeah. Right? That's what I love to say, that we also need to watch out what we're focusing on, because it also means that we're lots of things that we're not focusing on in that very moment, right? Mm-hmm. And then my core focus is really the facilitation, right? Who's the one who's inviting to play with whatever game or whatever method that's out there? But how do we frame it, right? And how can we reframe it? And where do we support and challenge our participants, right, beyond the game mechanics? So wonderful, wonderful conversations that could happen.
Yeah.
During the conference. Now, here's my question. This is a lot. Like all the definitions and the five, you know, areas and the conference and the history. What about fear of missing out or being overwhelmed as a first time attendee? What would be your tip to someone who's now thinking, oh, that sounds interesting. I would love to learn more, and who's coming for the first time. But what are your tips? What should they do, or what should they?
I think the heart and the spirit of this entire conference is the community. It's really the people who are there and who are doing awesome work all around the world. It might be, you know, overwhelming because we have almost like 100 or over 100 speakers from all around the world, really, from all continents. We have wonderful examples. We have so many different formats. We have inspiration talks. We have workshops. We have design sprints where you can actually create in a small team own solutions, new systems that will then be developed in the future, perhaps. We have walk and talks where you can walk with the speaker along the river and have like in a small group, like a more direct personal conversation that you are having. We have exhibition areas, analog and board games. So there's a massive offer that you can do. But as mentioned, the key, like the big, like the hint for people that are coming for the first time is connect to the people and just enjoy the atmosphere, because we also, you know, we support the networking. We have an app where people can easily, you know, get together and network and all of these things. But there's also the super nice possibilities for you to easily meet new people. We have, of course, a lot of playful experiences that support this, to come also to invite new people to the community and just, you know, make some high quality contacts with people and also make use of the offer that we are doing with the extra conference activities, so to say. Right. So we're offering boat trips. We are offering city tours. We are offering a party and all of these things. And this is, of course, the perfect time to meet new, interesting people, not only in the super, you know, conferency style, but like with real people, with real wonderful people that are coming there. This would be my number one advice. Connect with them. Make use of the connection offers.
Wonderful, wonderful. And again, the community is also visible, right? So yes, not only the speaker list, but then there's lots of posts and history and colleagues that do like to, you know, not only come and share on the conference, but also spread words, you know, in the internet and beyond of what they're doing and that they're willing to happily share what this community is about. Now, let's also talk about the other side of play, the dark side of play. No, but really, I was having a conversation this morning with my co-author Anna, and we are, you know, thinking of a, I don't know if I'm going to call it MythBuster or what do you say to someone who says, well, but play, come on. That's for children, right? And again, they we know they, of course, and even animals. I will list this podcast episode with Manuel Grasla. I just listened a couple of days ago. But Okay, animals, playful behavior, children. Yes. And now we're adults. So we went through school, and we learned something and did our research. And now we're in this work environment, which is changing every day. And we have those corporates, those organizations. Again, this is not only about businesses. This could be any organization. We don't have time for that, right? We don't have time to simulate. What is one of your responses if you hear that being said on a table
I see.
next to you? Not during the conference, but
Yeah, well, it depends on the culture, I would say, because I was, making use of these approaches in many different cultures around the world, and some of them are super open and are making use of this, are way ahead of us in that regard. Some cultures are even more behind than us, but I would say our European culture, unfortunately, is not, a pioneer. Let's call it like this. Specifically, like you experienced this. Obviously, everybody who listens to this podcast is interested in this. But people, you have a lot of like conservative people that are saying, "Yeah, no, this is for children. This is not for us because we're doing serious business." And I mean, what I'm trying to get then the access to is, okay, like, what about motivational design? Would you like your people who are making use of your product or your employees to be more motivated in certain regards? Would they be more emotionally connected to the product and stuff like this? And they'd say, yes, of course. Okay, and then here's the super powerful tool called gamification, serious games, playful design, however you want to call it, that you can use. And then, people are slowly understanding. But what I was also, experiencing with like the conference now is when I talk to companies who are not using it yet, like any type of playful instrument, so to say. They said, "Oh, that all sounds super interesting. That sounds perfect, but we're not in the gaming sector, so it's not for us." And this is exactly what I want to change. This is exactly like this pain point that I see, and where we need a cultural change in order, to transform to a more playful society that is more interactive, more connected to emotions. This is actually how we humans work, yeah? And people need to understand that they can massively make use of this. And of course, with like the regulations that we should talk with, like the instruments of manipulation and the ethical points,
Yes,
we have to
absolutely,
take
yes.
this into consideration. But on the other hand, like pe more people need to know it. And it's not like a 0 to 1 switch that we can say, okay, now we did this one
Everything
thing and
just.
now everybody knows about it. It's a cultural change that we are here trying to trigger, and that is currently taking place because more and more people understand the power of games. Specifically, if you check out like the numbers in the entertainment market, you can easily say, okay, check out the entertainment market. It is massive. It is in many regions bigger than music and film combined. So why are you not making use of it now? And then people start, reflecting.
Yes. And we talked about earlier, causes besides fun, right? And again, I don't think that every gamer out there, current gamer, future gamer out there now needs to also learn solely through games, right? But if you get a fraction of those, mechanics, ideas, best practices, things that are working, that's wonderful. I somehow stopped talking about games. Oh, God, saying that on the Serious Games podcast. But sometimes a simulation, right? Or let's say a decision-based or scenario-based, moment. When I can introduce that, oh, let's build some scenarios that participants will then need to tackle, and then they need to either share back or they need to give points to each other, whatever. That sometimes clicks a little bit faster. Because the simulation, it's clear. It's only in my head or on the board, right? Or on the white paper. And then, it's, something that I do to prepare myself for the future. Yeah, that's exactly what we do with games, right? Specifically when you can then say, yeah, and this whole narrative, the story, the content, the speed, the time box, the level of challenge, that can all be adjusted and tailored. And I will even say it must be tailored to the mission, right? To the day-to-day of the participants.
Yeah.
And maybe I can even put some, and maybe I can ask you, this will be a long list of show notes, but there is evidence out there where we can literally say that, yes, the nearer the things that we tinker with during a workshop or a learning moment are closer to the day-to-day of what the participant will experience when once they left the room or the learning moment. It doesn't have to be in a room, right? It can also be on job, etc. That increases the likelihood that the new behavior, new thinking, new will be transferred.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, for me, what I see with this kind of problem that this industry is facing since its beginning, I would say, is I usually think about like two target groups, a primary and a secondary target group. And the primary target group, it depends a little bit on how you're, how you're defining it, but are those people that are then, buying the serious game or giving like the contract to build the serious game? Or, and those people that are basically the decision makers or the commissioners, they need to understand, and you need to design your offer for them so they understand what is the added value for them. And if they, like to hear the word simulation, rather than game, then it is not tricking them, because it is, if you're building a simulation, that's exactly it. For instance, this is the example from Afghanistan. When we were talking to the NGOs in Afghanistan, they said, we can never go for a serious game here because games are purely for children here. And of course, A, this is not really true, but like in this professional context, we just then called it simulation and everybody was on board and everybody loved it. Yeah? And then we have the secondary target group, which is somehow also the primary target group, are then those people that are actually doing this. For instance, workshop participants who are playing the game, who are going through the simulation, whatever. So you have those two target audience that you need to satisfy. Basically, first the commissioner, and then second the participants.
The players,
But I think this is quite specific, and those are those moments where you can talk and exchange also on the conference, with people that are having these experiences in all the different sectors. I always, hear these conversations. How do you use it? How do you convince this person to make use of it? Yes. It's all around, and then people are exchanging and giving each other advice on all of these. So
wonderful. I mean, again, we could probably talk for 40 more minutes, but maybe I will ask you for one unique moment, or one unique moment from the serious play community that stuck with you, just something where you say, that's where I felt not only the power of gameful applied games, but also the power of how we can multiply our thoughts, our work, our impact.
Yeah. So there was one moment, and basically it was not one single moment, but it started with a panel that I was on, and then the discussions that were triggered by this panel afterwards was basically about monetization and maturing of serious games and playful design, so to say. And I think this was for me very, very interesting, because everybody, wants to go to the next level with serious games, because we experienced in the past too many, bad examples of serious games and gamified systems where people just throw in some point badges, leaderboards, and say, now, some more extrinsic motivators, and now it's fun in the game. No, it's not like this. But like, the maturing of the design of this. This is something that that I don't know, like I recognized it there for the first time that people all around the world are getting better in this, you know, and there you have all the experts that are around it that basically understand their craft, you know, they understand what they're doing and they're willing to share this with the other people. So we all are on the same mission, you know, because like those people that are there are, to be honest, super good people that want to contribute to a better world and support each other and to have, you know, you know, some sustainable projects and all of these things. And they're also at the same time super good at what they're doing and they're willing to share. It's not this heavy competition that you see in many different conferences where it's all about selling, selling, selling. No, here it's about really exchanging, growing together, getting these inspirations. And this was a moment where I felt, okay, there's like, not only the games and the products are maturing, but also like the quality of the community. Is kind
wonderful.
Of evolving.
Yes, sounds great. And then I when you was talking about the quality and the leveling up the quality, there's also, I think we shortly talked about this, yes, there is also the International Serious Play Award, right? That and then now that this conference is happening for the first time in continental Europe, I heard you will also be, you know, there will be some awards also announced, okay, to show that. But what I really want to ask, and we will link the website, okay, then you can see the award description. What is your take on what makes a good game and what makes a great game? What makes it an award-winning game? What would you like to see? Again, knowing that you're not part of the, you know, the judges for that award, so it's totally fine for me to ask that question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So perhaps to your first point, yeah, we have like the awards. We have these international awards and we announce winners in the Europe edition as well as we announce certain winners in the North America edition. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So also at day two, at the before like the party starts on day two in Mainz, then the awards will be announced. The winners will be announced and then, will be nice possibility to celebrate afterwards. But what makes a good serious game? What makes a good playful experience? For me, like the core of it is to understand the target audience and to adapt the experience to your target audience because, this now goes a little bit into didactics when we're thinking, for instance, about a learning game. We need to show the target audience. They need to understand the relevance of it. Yeah. So it needs to be, the game needs to show, the experience needs to show that the game is relevant. That is connected to their status quo that, you know, they can, that basically the ship is leaving together with them and not, you know, requires them to jump in the middle of the ocean. No, that the ship, the experience is in the harbor where our target audience starts and takes them towards their destination through the user journey. This is super important. And then of course that all the learning content that is emotionally, should be emotionally hooked to the experience as well. Is in an integrated design, so to say. What I say as a bad example, for instance, is sequential design. Sequential design, we would like have first fun and fun experience, then boring learning, then fun, then boring learning. People understand this super quickly and basically that doesn't make a good design. Yeah. But if you're able to integrate your objectives, whatever serious objective you might be learning, might be something else, integrate these into the game mechanics, not only the story, not only the visuals, but really in the mechanics as well, then you're on a very good track. And I think then you're already doing a good serious game. And for me, what makes also a very good serious game, also something that the sector and the industry desperately needs more and more, is the layer of impact measurement.
Okay.
Because impact measurement is something that is too often, you know, overlooked. And if you say, can you prove it? Perhaps there is some evidence. Actually, now there are some scientific studies that show like the impact of serious gains, but we need more. Yeah, we need more. Mm-hmm. And we need to integrate this into the design of the implementation. It's not about it's not only about the product itself, but it's about the implementation of the product. How do you actually, and where, and how do you do it? How do you implement it? And how do you evaluate it? Yeah, and you need to understand how you want to evaluate it at the very beginning, so you can build and design for this.
Yes.
So this,
yes,
for me makes then a great serious game. Yeah? If it's doing like good design combined with impact measurement that is relevant, that is emotionally charged.
Yes. And I like to also echo those questions when I think about serious games to the whole then, you know, sponsor or organization where we are considering to use it, right? So you use, you also have to ask the question, you know, holistically, how is the organization then supporting the player in, you know, showing, using the new skills, the new whatever is supposed to be triggered by a playful encounter, a serious game, or a gamey fight moment. Wow. That's a lot to talk about during those couple of days in Mainz. Yes, but there are more more conferences, and then there's another one in summer, then now in the US, and then more and more. Philip, I have so many notes here, and again, more notes on what to put in the show notes. But then I definitely encourage everyone to literally, you know, click on one or two, but then come and discuss whatever you found or whatever you were thinking, or bring the people that you think should be discussing what you either heard or read about. Is there anything that we did not talk about before I ask my couple of, maybe one or two final questions?
Yeah, I mean, perhaps two things. Yes. First is we have also, you know, these communities that, you know, on LinkedIn, Discord, and all of these. So this is an invitation to join these and join the community already before the event. This is one thing.
Yes.
And then also regarding the event itself, yeah. Mm-hmm. So perhaps one last thing I want to transport or communicate, yes, to all of you who are listening right now, that we really designed this entire conference as an experience. Yeah. Mm. It's not only about like the amazing talks that we're having. It's not only about like the workshops or the networking opportunities that you're having, but basically what we want is that you go there, that you're connecting with people, that you're getting inspired, that you're coming up with new projects together with people that you've never met from all around the world, and that you're just enjoying your time, because we have so many extra conference activities, like the party, like the boat trip, like these live music and all of this. And at the same time, there's actually the biggest festival in Mainz taking place at the same time, called Johannes Nacht, Johannesfest. Okay. Mm-hmm. And basically, you have a lot of possibilities to experience wonderful things there. And doing, of course, also party. This is also you can do. But there's also a lot of cultural offers. We are also partnering with the Johannes Gutenberg Museum. And you have a lot of ways to do this and connect with people and make this really a memorable experience.
Wow. Wow. Sounds like a 100-hour day. Yeah, but again, as you said, you know, it's a platform. It's a community. There's multiple, I would even say unlimited ways to connect, which means there's something in for everyone. Right. So no matter if you're looking for this one industry use case and want to discuss with someone who has worked on it, or if you just want to explore the whole a variety of what play games can mean and be, or if you just want to, you know, enjoy the whole buffet of what is, you know, offered in those sessions. Wow. Okay, LinkedIn, Discord, yeah. Even more on the show notes now. They're getting longer and longer. Yeah, okay, here's my final question. Is there a specific, like, quote or core principle about play that personally guided your work in this field?
A quote for play that guided me?
Yeah. Or could be also a principle.
Yeah, I think like my core principle is play as an interactive instrument to contribute to a better world. This is actually what I'm trying to do. What is my personal mission, vision? What is basically what I'm following? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want to make use of this super powerful instrument in order to do something good.
Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. Last words before our listeners can now explore the very long show notes, and we will hide also a discount code. If you're saying, like, look, they talked about this for a couple of minutes, I think I need to go and have a look how this is working. Go and find that discount code in the show notes. And for sure, if you have any questions, you know, reach out to either Philip, reach out to me, all the other wonderful community members, and also let us know afterwards, right? How it was and what you would have loved to have heard and known beforehand. Yeah. There's probably a lot, but then that's also very, very helpful. Wow. Philip, I think, you know, for a starter, this is so great. Thank you for taking the time of your busy day. Again, we're only a couple of weeks away from the conference, so there's lots of things to do. We just had a small chat before the recording. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really a joyful experience, also this podcast here. So thanks so much, and thank you to all the listeners.
Wonderful. And to all our listeners, well, again, you know, enjoy revisiting this or other episodes of the Serious Games Podcast. There's also lots of ideas or inspiration on how games and playful encounters can be used. I wish you a lot of fun. And here is the discount code for the Serious Play Conference Europe. It will run from June 18 to 19, but keep in mind there are many, many events scheduled also on the 20th and on the 21st, so definitely worth staying over the weekend in Mainz. And the discount code, just when you check out your ticket, type in Serious Games Podcast 20. That's Serious Games Podcast 20. Till next time, bye-bye.
You can reach us at hello@keylearning.net. We're looking forward to your suggestions, comments, and feedback.